Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I begin my message, I just want to give thanks to those that are singing and leading us in music today, Karen and Karen, and also Alyssa. I don't know if you caught that. Alyssa was playing at the very beginning. Great job, Alyssa. Great to have you playing for us in our prelude. Dear friends, a broken nose is not that big of a deal. I've broken my nose 3 times, so I speak from experience. Now, there are complications from a broken nose. I speak from experience. All the times I've broken my nose, they're on the basketball court, a sweeping elbow across the face, and I've had my nose basically shattered. Come look close after service. I'll pull down my mask real quickly and show you. It doesn't look all that great. But a broken nose is not a big deal. The complications are pretty simple. First off, there is that initial hit that doesn't feel very good. Second is the blood. That's not a pretty picture. Third, I would say, is that black eye that appears the morning after. Not a great look. But a broken nose isn't structurally a big deal unless someone has to break it back or move your nose back into position. And I speak from experience on this one too. And what can be even scarier in that proposition, in that activity, is when you don't know the skill level, or if someone, the person that's fixing your nose, if they've done this before. About the second or third, I think it was the second time that I broke my nose, I was in St. Louis, and I didn't know the doctor that was going to help me out. That caused a lot of fear and trembling sitting in his lobby there. Didn't know who this doctor was, kind of in a foreign city in St. Louis, and thoughts began to run through my head. Thought number one was this: am I going to be marred for life? Thought number two was, am I going to be able to breathe like I used to be able to breathe? Thought number three was, how long is the pain going to last after this, after he breaks my nose a third time? Something calmed me, however, sitting in the lobby of the doctor's office. It was on the wall. His degrees. His degrees were framed and hanging on the wall of his lobby. Bachelor's in science, master's, doctor of medicine, and some certificates. I can't remember what they were, but they looked fancy. And you see, that's what calmed me. This person had done it before. This person had degrees. I was in good hands. Now, why do I share that story? I actually think a similar thing is happening here in our gospel text from Luke chapter 7, in which John the Baptist is sending some of his disciples out to see this Jesus guy. John tells his disciples to go out and talk to Jesus and ask this question: are you the one that we're waiting for, or should we be waiting for somebody else? And I think these disciples of John, when they asked this question, putting myself in their shoes, I think they had a lot of fear, trepidation, kind of like being in the lobby of a doctor's office. Why did they have fear and trepidation? The world that they were living in was topsy-turvy. The person that they were following, John the Baptist, was being pursued by the king. It was likely that these disciples of John were also being pursued by the king. Spies were probably sent out to see what John the Baptist was up to and what his underlings were up to as well. They came from a place that didn't have a lot of physical resources, the wilderness. And I imagine as they asked this question to Jesus, they asked it with a lot of insecurity and a lot of trepidation. Are you the one, or should we wait for another? And I think this morning we can relate to those feelings. Don't we live in a topsy-turvy kind of world these days? Don't we live in times where there is violence and you really don't know what's going to happen the next day? You pick up the newspaper, you hear of another disaster, you expect a disaster to come the next day. And aren't we living in times where it almost feels like we're living out in the wilderness? Who would have ever thought we're living in the times that we're living these days? These disciples of John, as they go out to visit Jesus, they had never met him before. And what would calm their fears, their trepidations, their insecurity? Jesus shows them his degrees. Verse 20, the blind receive their sight. Jesus is an ophthalmologist. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf speak. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news preached to them. Whoa! I think that John's disciples walked away thinking, we're in good hands. Now, to be honest here this morning, truthfully, when you see the degrees of someone, it doesn't exactly bring us calm. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be good and follow through, does it? It says here that Jesus was a miracle worker. Can we really expect that Jesus is always going to perform miracles? I think every single one of us are longing for some sort of miracle in our lives. Whenever our resources are low, whether that be personal or physical or financial or emotional or spiritual, we get to a point where we just shout out and say, I want a miracle. The cancer patient that's had treatment and has tried and tried and tried with those treatments to get better and it just doesn't come. The student who takes that, who takes the assignments and the tests and just isn't getting it, but just wants to do better. I need a miracle. The homeless person that has had things thrown their way that just makes life difficult, that really was out of their choice. I need a miracle. There is something in the heart of each person here, I believe, in which we're, because of physical constraints, emotional constraints, or we might be crying out this morning, I need a miracle. We're all longing for miracles. But can we firmly believe that a miracle can happen? That's where doubts creep in. Because we don't want to count on a miracle when there's very little chance that it will come. And how often have we expected a miracle when it comes to our families or our fortunes or really our work situations and it doesn't really materialize? We don't want to set ourselves up for disappointment if the miracle doesn't come. How does Christianity speak about miracles? Is it possible? Well, my answer this morning is yes. It's possible. From verse to verse, story to story, event to event in the Gospels, there are miracles. Not just one, but numerous miracles from Jesus.